A fundamental question, is it possible to determine cases when the conjugate gradient convergence in small in the sense much smaller than n number of steps the answer is simple, is the following. When there are only S possibly much smaller than N distinct eigenvalue, so A, of the given matrix, then the conjugate gradient converges in at most S steps. The number, this means that the number of different distant eigenvalues of A measures the, gives the mass, the maximum number, possible number of steps for convergence. The reason of this is the following. Why? It can be seen formally by induction, but we skip this now. It can be seen that the residual can be expressed in terms of powers of A in this way. The first residual depends on the choice of x0. I don't remember if I have stressed this, but I have convergence for any choice of x0. It's arbitrary. Also, this is a welcome feature for all iterative methods for linear systems. Let us express explicitly in terms of the first residual, the first, the second, and so on. If we use the right formulas, we have the updated formula. Here you have P0, but at the beginning, P0 is chosen as R0. So you find that the residual 1, R1, is the initial residual multiplied by a polynomial of degree 1 in A. I minus coefficient A, all multiplied by R0. What happens for next residual? Again, updated formula. Here I have a P. P1. P1 is the corresponding residual plus the right betas, beta 1, by P0, which is R0. So if we write in the best possible way all this, you have. Here you have again not very important to expand all. You can see all as a polynomial in A, in the matrix A, of degree 2. We have here A, and here A by A, so the degree is 2. A polynomial in A of degree 2, all multiplied by the first residual. I can always see the residual R0 as a factor on the left. So if I give some name, say Q2 in A by L0. This can be proven by induction. It is, as all induction proofs, quite boring, but the idea in this case is simple. Tutti residui, all the residuals are K, polynomial K of degree K, in the matrix, in the given matrix A, by multiplied by the first residual. Then let us suppose that we have only S distinct eigenvalues. If we consider just the S residual RS for this property, we can write it as a polynomial of degree S in A by R0. If you remember, when we have for Hermitian matrix, I write this here, Hermitian, A is also positive definite, but it is Hermitian matrix A, distinct eigenvalues, positive eigenvalues, lambda 1, lambda s, the minimal polynomial of A, polynomial, is just psi of, say, lambda. The product of monomials lambda minus lambda I raised to an exponent which is the algebraic but also geometric multiplicity for the number S of eigenvalues I starting from 1 until S. So this is the characteristic polynomial apart from the multiplicative coefficient. The exponents, and this is wrong, in the minimal polynomial, the previous formula was right for the characteristic polynomial. The minimal polynomial has, for all the terms, exponent 1. So the degree of the minimal polynomial is exactly s. So let us divide this polynomial of degree s, exactly degree s, qs, qs, by psi, psi in A, by the quotient V of A plus the remainder, say T of A. I use the common formula for division of polynomials, divide Q by Psi, so I have a quotient and a remainder. But I realize that Psi, Psi, and Q have the same degree, so this is a constant. This is not very important, but the quotient is a constant, and the degree of the remainder is strictly less than S. Degree of T is strictly less, say L is strictly less than S. What is the main property of the minimal polynomial? The reason why it has been introduced? It is the monic polynomial of minimum degree which annihilates the matrix A. So psi of A is the zero matrix. So the conclusion of A is that the residual at the step S is equal to the polynomial T in A. So T computed in A of degree L less S by I have forgotten, sorry, this term, multiplied by the vector initial residual R0. Well, I want to see that this vector is 0. Why? Because it can be seen by this relation as a vector depending on R0, R1, RL, where L is the degree of T, but at the same time, for the property, the orthogonality property, we know also that it is orthogonal to the same vector. So this vector belongs to the span of these other vectors, and it is orthogonal to all of them. The only possibility is that this vector is zero. So we see that it may happen that we have a zero residual for indices less than S. Se io parto dalla soluzione esatta, cioè R0 uguale a 0, ma quello è un caso, è fortuna. In general, it is not possible obtain non-zero residual after the step S, where S is the number of distinct eigenvalues. This is a strong situation, a trivial example. If I have A equal to I, this is not a casual choice. If I have a Hermitian positive definite, anyway, Hermitian is sufficient matrix with all eigenvalues coincident, all equal eigenvalues, it has to be a scalar matrix. If I have we are moving inside the set of Hermitian matrices. So matrix A is anyway expressible as U G, the diagonal matrix made up with the eigenvalues, and the Hermitian of U. If all the eigenvalues are equal to, say, alpha, I can write this as alpha U UH, that is alpha by the identity matrix. So if I require that all eigenvalues have the same value, this means that the matrix is a scalar matrix, alpha by I, and I have also the trivial situation in which the conjugate gradient converges in only one step. Well, the idea for fostering the convergence of the method is to transform the given linear system, that is the matrix, substantially, in another linear system with the same solution, but with the matrix of coefficients near to a scalar matrix. This is the idea of preconditioning that is transformed A and consequently the linear system in a matrix better conditioned but the condition number for in the two norm for an Hermitian matrix. That means the I write it here. The ratio between lambda max and lambda min. You know, this is two. Is the simplest case in which. Condition number can be seen directly in terms of eigenvalues of the given matrix. So, a better condition number means A closer to a scalar matrix. We are just saying that the best possible case, also even if it's a trivial case, is the case of a scalar matrix. Is it possible in some way, it's possible in very many ways, transform a matrix in such a way that is closer, this is not a proper term, but the idea is this. A scalar matrix that is alpha by the identity matrix. Well, the technique can be seen, can be described this way. Just remember that the new matrix must be itself Hermitian and positive definite, otherwise the conjugate gradient method cannot be applied. We start from A by X equal to V. Let us consider matrix C square of the same order, invertible. And multiply C, or the inverse of C, it's the same, but in order to obtain exactly the same formulas we will find here. The inverse of C on the left, and here you put the transpose of the inverse, the transpose, okay. This makes an identity, so all is right. And we search, if it is possible, it's not so quite simple. Search C such that the matrix, which matrix? This, B, the inverse of C by A by the transpose of the inverse of C, which is Hermitian and positive definite. This is a similarity transformation, so the eigenvalues are the same. Structurally, it is again a Hermitian matrix. The system, the linear system, becomes BY, the new unknown vector. And C is the new right-hand side term, where Y is this, and lowercase c, is the inverse of capital C inverse B. This is the new. In such a way that B is better conditioned, closer to a scalar matrix, the same thing. Better conditioned than A. This is an interesting problem. Possible choices of C. C must be invertible. It would be better if C would be easily invertible. So often C is chosen as a diagonal or triangular matrix. Possible simple preconditioners we can call C the preconditioner, or better, usually the term preconditioner is given to the matrix M defined as the product C by the transpose of C. This is called a precondition. Why this matrix deserves an important name? Because in this framework we can reformulate the conjugate gradient iterative scheme applied to B, and in that scheme you can see this is a check that you can do by yourselves, you see that instead of multiplying, you have again to multiply by A, as in the original scheme, but you have also to solve.
So, generic step of the preconditioned conjugate gradient method.
You have again a product by A. Ecco qui. Product of a vector, product A by vector, as in the ordinary case. But you have also to solve for each step a system with M, exactly M, as coefficient matrix. So it is important that M is easily notable. Well, if M well approximates the inverse of A, then less steps for convergence are required. The possible preconditioners that you will find described in the didactic material in the PDF file are these. Must be an approximation not of the inverse but of A, and must be easily invertible. So M can be chosen as the diagonal of A I have this given matrix A. Often it is diagonally dominant. So in some sense the diagonal approximates all the matrix, since the entries in other locations are smaller than the ones over the diagonal. Another better preconditioning technique is the so-called incomplete Cholesky factorization of A. What does it mean? M in this case is L by LT, where L is not the L matrix of the Cholesky factorization, but it is an approximation of the Cholesky factor in this sense. L, which has N entries, L, E, J, is defined as in the Cholesky factorization, in the Cholesky factorization, if the corresponding entry of A is non-zero. zero otherwise. Often the matrix A is a sparse matrix, as we remarked before. So here I have a lot of zeros. I apply at the beginning as starting phase of the procedure, I apply the Cholesky formulas in exactly the same corresponding in correspondence when I have an entry of the matrix different from zero. For all zero entries, I replace the exact formula for the entry L ij with zero. So I will obtain a matrix which is different from A, but in many cases it's a sufficiently good approximation of A, so it can be chosen as a precondition. At the end of the section you will find some examples in which the conjugate gradient is applied to linear systems arising from applicative problems. Well, we finish here. Tomorrow, Friday, Professor Bigi, we will show you the conjugate gradient method from minimizing point of view. So the same method reformulated in a slightly different way. Okay? She can help you.